You're listening to BAU, Business as Unusual, the podcast that is shifting the way we think, interact, and transact.
Afternoon, Joe.
Good afternoon, Pat.
How are you this fine day?
Yeah, I'm good, thank you. It's a Sunday edition, isn't it? So we're, financial year end here in Australia. So always an interesting time of the year. So it fell on a Friday this year. So I think we were both kind of madly scrambling to fill out paperwork, distribution forms, get invoices in, send invoices out, etc. on Friday. So this is a little bit more of a relaxed day than Friday felt.
For sure. Yeah. Catch us on Friday. I think the voice would have sounded a little bit different. So we got to cue those background sounds for or whatever those party streamers are that go along with New Year's.
We are finished.
Yeah. So now it feels nice. Close of chapter. Year ahead looks like a year ahead and something that we'll need to feet, hands and everything else. 100%. Dirty, but that's where we are, and I think it's exciting. But yeah, it's nice to say goodbye to the end of the year.
Yeah,
it's always
true.
There's always a push to get there, so it always feels like you've achieved something.
Yeah, it feels like Christmas. Like it feels like an artificial deadline, but it's actually a real deadline, right? Because stuff.
Oh, it's super real.
Just like I use this analogy, like stuff still has to be under the tree on Christmas morning, whether you want it to be there or not, it still has to be there, and there's still a list of stuff to do. And financial year end is really, it's exactly the same.
Yeah. So yeah. I hope you've been good, and next year you don't get full of coal.
Exactly. Time will tell. It's all good. AI will save us. So
it'll save something. But and here we are. We're talking about segmentation and what that means in an economy in and out. Whether AI is here to save us or not. And I've been trying to dissect where we jumped off last week and jump into here. And I think the first thing we got to do is define what segmentation is, not in a marketing speak around audience or persona, but more about how a product's built and then where it goes from there.
Absolutely. So kind of, I guess it's really, it's the classic slice up of value, right? And that's where, the term segmentation comes from. Is often it was really inside supply chain or inside a factory. It was about how do you actually take something that has a whole part and how do you actually segment or slice it up, right? And that's, it's got the same terminology in audience or in marketing, but the basic terminology is really, I always imagine it as if you took a mandarin or an orange and you break it up into section piece by piece, that all has segments to it. And that's what you're doing when you actually start to think about this sort of stuff. And the question posed by AI really is about, is it a platform that is going to be the orange, or is it just another slice? And I think it can actually be both. Like, can it be a slice of the orange, or is it actually kind of an orange?
Yeah, and that's picking up on that re-platforming.
Yes.
It depends where it lands. It feels like it is a re-platforming, or it's going to go that way.
Yeah.
But the orange is still the same.
But if that
makes sense.
No, it does. Like, it does.
It's almost a shelf,
so
to speak. There's lots of different oranges now there. Say a new supermarket, to use that reference.
Like, but do you think it's going to kill digital, like the digital platforms of today are really based on what they are, is that they're based on like an AB, right? So it's 0-1. So it's on, it's off, it's on, it's off, it's on, it's off. And it's really about proximity to information that's empowered. So it's really, it's generally like it's a digitization of the world. AI, will it kill that? Or is it actually just the next thing? Because is it a 0-1 relationship? I'm not sure it is.
How do you mean on off? Like, where?
Well, you know how in a computer sense, basically it's electronic. So that's what it's doing, the circuitry, right? And even if you look at the chips behind AI in terms of like fuzzy search, etc., a lot of the NVIDIA chips, shout out NVIDIA, thanks for your stock performance last year. I appreciate that. Is that it's done really, really well around actually kind of challenging that logic, which is more like a games-based logic. So when you think about where AI potentially can actually go, that is the processing behind it, which is actually tangibly different than the processors that we've historically used. They're still 0-1, 0-1, 0-1, but the replatforming we're talking about, it feels like there's some, I don't have the answer to this, by the way, but it feels like there's something else that's actually happening. So it's not just like AI in the sense of like artificial intelligence using kind of knowledge. It's that it's also the processing power that goes with it. It's also the way that the answer is construed. Mm. And then the actual commercial models that go behind all of these things, that I think that's what you start to look at, what you're talking about with segmentation. All those things feel like they add up to making a new orange, but it's not the old orange that was sitting over here.
Yeah, for sure. It's I'm hearing you there. It doesn't feel like we're going to be interacting with the web how we used to, and it's going to be a lot more. I feel it's coming. We feel like the web's interactive, but it's still like click and go. And go here. It's going to be, it feels like, I don't know, we'll see.
Yeah.
In terms of the information that was coming through this week and what I've been diving in, it can go one or two ways and it can go, right to the depths pretty quick. Yeah. And a lot hinges on a few companies. That's what's crazy. But to answer your question in short, if it lands and everything's smooth, then it feels like, it'll be a completely different orange sitting on a completely different shelf.
Yeah, in some ways it's true. And like, I mean, maybe like when we've been talking about it, like I often draw the analogy that this is like HTML, and I guess I've been challenging myself to think that, okay, but maybe it's like if HTML was the language that enabled all of this, like in terms of making the world's information accessible, the other thing that I've missed in that was actually the processing power and the computer chips and the telephony and the kind of the network that allowed that to come through.
Mm.
So if you start to segment it and you actually look at really what we're talking about, it's like the computer chips are becoming very, very different, able to process more general intelligence rather than 0-1. So they're more like a generative AI is look pattern making rather than soul switching. That's one aspect.
Mm.
The other aspect is then you start to see that, you know, whether it's going to be successful or not, like whether you believe like the Scott Galloway thing, like no one wants to put fucking goggles on their face because it makes them less attractive. I always question why then does he wear glasses? Like what's that actually caught up for him in that? But the thing about kind of the way that we're going to interact with information and it being more immersive rather than us sitting in front of a screen, probably.
But it leaves more of a footprint. That's what's going to be wild with AI. Yeah. It's going to leave a footprint, and that's what I think a lot of the orange is going to look a lot different, because it's going to take sort of analog or use day-to-day services and put it on and make it a lot more interactive. Like going to a lot of these pitches, everyone's like, I'm going to make like high quality like psychotherapy really accessible, so you don't have to go back and plot your path. You can see your path. It's almost like a story there, and you can interact with those moments and keep going on. So it houses lots of different of your services or how you interact. So it's a bit, it's really stepping. It feels like the internet is as you said, off and on, and then you're stepping into your very own video game.
Yeah,
and it's, video game houses.
And it's a little bit more health, augmented.
Your health houses, your finance houses, your meetup rooms, like your social houses, your work. So it starts to get to that. It's a different space.
It is. And it's not like...
But it's the same, metaverse. But it's extended. Yeah, it's not.
But it's what I think you're pulling on, and I'm just trying to build on, is spot on. Like it's that all these aspects kind of add up into like... So it's, to me, there's more than just one thing at play. Yeah. And I think that's the thing when you kind of think about this, the segments that this is actually touching, you can kind of make a compelling case that the processing power tangibly changes, and the step from generative kind of knowledge in terms of pattern recognition to generally kind of full on kind of like generalized intelligence, like a GI model, that's processing power. And that might be, they're looking at that, etc. That could come through quantum, it could come through other things, but it's kind of, that's one channel that's going to allow that to happen. But that's 10 years away. Then you can say, well, kind of augmented reality, which is the stuff you're talking about, being able to actually step inside your own health journey, see your records, kind of be able to actually pull that sort of stuff up, to me, feels like a much easier way to find information than using kind of data-based search, right? Or fuzzy search, kind of text-based commands. Wouldn't it be great to just be able to dive into your server, like Minority Report, kind of esque, and just flick things around until you find the document that you're looking for?
Exactly. You feel like even in the way we interact with the internet now, I have a million search tabs open.
Yeah.
Like if you could just have a room that did, you know, you were doing a research area here, you're working on a project there, you know, you could walk into those rooms and start to order them,
which is kind of like Notion, right?
But Notion's there, but it's still 2D, not 3D,
not 3,
and you can't invite someone in, and you can't explain where your head's at and how to build on that. And you know, that's where I feel like the unlock and AI will be able to feed into that a lot more interactively.
But that is going to be like goggles, or it's going to be like some version of that augmented digital layer around you.
I just can't see goggles landing, but I can see, like we've spoken about this before, where, you know, your wall is going to have an interactive element to it that can pop out. You can, you know, it's...
But directionally, if you think about that, like when I first got like, you know, like a mobile phone, right? So when I worked at Coca-Cola, I ended up with this gigantic fucking brick of a thing that used to take up the entire front seat of my car. Granted, I didn't have the world's biggest car, but you know, it sat on the entire front seat of that. I used to have this gigantic battery that it used to have like 20 minutes worth of kind of lifespan in it and a phone, right? And there's this thing, and then you dial in the information to send the information back. Now we have these things that are like I don't know, like 1% of the size of that thing, have 100,000 times the kind of the battery life and the processing power. But that's not in a long window, right? I mean, that's you know, I was doing that when I'm 48 now. I did that when I was 24. So that's a 25-year window that we've gone from blocks to kind of the iPhone, or kind of if you're in Google land, sorry about that. But you're using like an Android-based phone. So they're both really strong systems to be able to do that. But that's only 25 years, right? So goggles could lead to holograms, but they're the gateway drug.
Sure. Well, that's where we're heading. But like the question is, also to build on that, like that's the new orange, but then the services that build that, I feel like where we are today in terms of products, it feels like we're saying there's maybe four companies that can build the same product, like a ChatGPT, generative AI. And then there's that across so many areas, like in terms of the way companies are buying other companies to stamp out competition. It's a fascinating spot that we're in the world, because we're sort of hit. I feel maybe we're peak, like A2 milk. Like, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah, I do.
It's homogenous as hell. Like, where's that differentiator coming from, and where's that punch through that does it different, because it is so segmented. Like, someone owns the orange, but there's all these little different segments that go into make the whole.
Yep.
Which that's taking away maybe from where our conversation is with AI, but that feels like the lay of the landscape at the moment. And that was exposed with our global economy when it happened. Definitely. With disruptions over COVID. Like, I wonder if there's going to be a change around that, or whether it's going to continue there. Mm. Like, what that'll look like is fascinating, but especially paired with as we move into this new sort of...
Yeah, well, the skill sets, I guess, like where the skill sets are housed, right? That's where you often have to think about this stuff. So, like, kind of, and where might this come from? So, like, the skill sets in software, like true software development, still all sit mostly in California, you know, around kind of the Bay Area, San Francisco, in terms of like true stuff. But the research kind of basis of AI and kind of people that are doing stuff, you know, is much more kind of diverse and kind of put across the world. Because I think it's, you know, that's where I get really interested, is that where, as you said, like who's going to really challenge the incumbency. But it does feel like we're at a point where everyone's making bets as the incumbents, but they're not fully in because they have legacy businesses. So like Apple, it's great you made goggles, thank you. Yeah. But, you know, that's not the core of their business. They're just trying to figure out how we might do augmentation. Yeah. But if someone comes along and goes, that is everything we are, and we're just trying to literally go multiple different ways to get into an augmented reality, and here's the way we're using these chips, etc., to do that based off of this model, that's where it gets interesting. Yeah. But I reckon, you know, we wouldn't know that, just as I didn't know, you know, like Mark Zuckerberg when he was at Harvard making, you know, whatever the hell the thing was, the lookbook that became Facebook. I didn't know that he was
didn't
doing
know
that.
Either.
No, he didn't know he was doing that. Look, right. But I didn't know, like I'm not in those circles. Right. It's like when you think about like creating Instagram or creating Microsoft, like it's those people I would think are out there at the moment in time.
Well, they're doing it right now.
They're doing it now.
What's fascinating. Yeah. But the crazy bit is that the actual tech, the product that is needed, is the investment level that is needed to get to where it was, like some of this generative AI is phenomenal.
For sure.
And like there's an argument around the ideology around going in all in on that is pretty phenomenal.
Well, you can reverse engineer that and go, okay, if you were basically an incumbent industry and you all basically come together to kind of go that this is a real thing and we all broadly need access to it, and really the moat at the moment is the processing power, right? Is that it's not actually the technology of AI, it's actually the ability to render it quickly. It's a database thing, yeah. Right? And it's a processing power. If you don't have a cloud-based computing warehouse somewhere in the back, and like I watch this all the time with ChatGPT, is that it cannot, at peak times, process, right? It literally, you can watch the delay. And I've done it on both, on 3 and then the one you have to pay for whatever it is. And it's no different. You can watch it. Actually, it's prompt command. Like if you are asking quite specific things, it takes a little bit longer. Yeah. But two, that prompt can be a lot quicker depending upon what it's actually being drawn upon. So like, to me, that's, you know, you're rightly putting across. I mean, if I was running Microsoft and Google and kind of, you know, and I had 80% of the world's storage via AWS as well, all locked up, that's what this thing runs on. Yeah. So it's not the game. The game for them is storage. But I do wonder, you know, who else is doing different things to, you know, what you're talking about, which is kind of trying to come across. And then if you watch the rise of all of these businesses, capital will flood behind it.
Well, everyone's sort of waiting for that new move. But like, yeah, taking it all the way back to that orange and apples, I just feel like even outside of tech, we're at that moment.
Yeah, we are.
Like, do you know what I mean? Like if you just strip it all back, we're not even at tech. We're just at getting food on the shelf or getting car under feet. Like,
But
it feels like with the winners, like you look at what Elon's doing and different companies are doing, they control the whole process. That's what feels vertical. Like the point of difference is being like, we actually maybe don't own the mind, or maybe they do. And then they go from point A to point B to point C, and it's all within the same wheelhouse, and they had no each touch point. Whereas I think the economy didn't do that for a very long time and sold it off. So,
I agree.
At the e-commerce, everyone sells the same product, but a different brand. That's what it's boiled down to. And now it's like, I feel like the pendulum's swinging the other way. Mm. And that's really what Microsoft's sort of doing with ChatGPT, they spent big cash.
Yeah.
And it's like, you know, that's what's changed with segmentation for my mind. I'm like, well, is it swinging back where it's you have to own the whole circuit? Yeah. Is that changing or is it not? Like, that's where it sort of sounds. But it feels like for now, in terms of point of difference, that is strong.
Yeah, it's very consolidated. I think that's what you're pointing
out. Yeah, well, that's what I'm saying. It's like legacy's got a lot to hold. Value distribution's been, like, we all know in terms of where the wealth sits now, it's like, it's pretty uneven. But the way to differentiate, you have to be very small to do that, but it's not economically viable. Like, it's
interesting. No, and it always, like, this conversation, I always go back to the whole, like, Peter Thiel kind of, you know, his CS183 class at Stanford, where he basically taught what then became 0 to 1, right? So this whole kind of, you know, what he talks about that is basically investment cases for technology or how to build the future, right? And what he talks about constantly in that, I mean, it's, you know, like it's I think it's the way that our world has actually gone, right? And I think he kind of saw it through the lens of kind of building a tech startup, which is really about how do you get to monopoly, right? So that's the game. How do you get to monopoly in a specific area? And that's what you're talking about. So if you're Elon Musk, cars, Tesla, how do you get to monopoly? Through battery and charging, right? So I think he understands that. A lot of people, when they talk about the value of Tesla, they believe it's about the cars. I think it's about the technology and the charging infrastructure and just how eloquent and quick it is. And he's done the same in space, right? How do you get to monopoly? Through verticalization in space. It's all about basically, well, you control the access points to get there, right? Space is pretty difficult to get there. I mean, you know, we've spent a lot of time trying to flap our way up there.
It's pretty
hard. We've never made it. We've never made it more than 10 feet off the ground. Like gravity is the ultimate master of human beings.
It's a humble pie.
But he now has the access points to that, and then so through doing that he can then build things like Starlink, etc. So like I think he understands that thesis, and I think a lot of people in technology understand it. The big question I have is that I also think our society now runs like this, right? It runs on that exact same thinking, which is basically, how do I get to kind of monopolistic power? So, you know, here in Australia, it's been the week of Taylor Swift in terms of like trying to get tickets and all this sort of stuff for it. But she is exactly the same thing, right? Her ability to command price and all those types of things, control her own content, etc. I think she gets it too, right? In terms of that she's been able to do that, sports people get it, etc. But we've had this whole world that has become a zero-sum game, which is literally what 0 to 1 is, right? It's actually that someone has the one, someone else has the zero. And that, I worry, obviously, for a societal level. Society, you see, I think you see that everywhere. Mm. You look these days, there's winners and there's losers, right? There's not kind of people who are still in the game. And that's the societal piece of this. But to your point previously, is that we're going to see this happen in health. We're going to see this happen in other areas of the economy where I believe, you know, there will be ways to better access your records, dive in, work with your doctor, all of these kind of interfaces. But what I don't think we know is who is actually going to own that.
Yeah, and that's the fascinating piece. Yeah. And I think it almost takes us to like our next part of the conversation that we can dive in here, but it's like, what is content? Where does an idea come from? And what is like, how do you give credit where credit's due, and what does that look like? I think like the breaking that down a little bit more is where some tech allows us to go and lays the foundations for doing that, and it's something that we need when we're looking at this 0 to 1, how to break that and how to better distribute that value. Because you look at content for an internet, like look at Reddit.
Yeah.
We'll go into Reddit, where that goes and what, who's actually creating that value, who did the platform, what that looks like and how that effects into, say, even a Taylor Swift, what role does a fan play? Like, this is some cool
participating
things
that can go. In the value, for sure. But I mean, that's where we can go with this next week, is kind of like, how then do you start to take in these monopolistic / vertical models? How does that value get sliced up?
Because I think that's where it has to go next, in terms of like, you look at Elon, right, where people feel like they're part of it, and that's where you can break a monopoly, so to speak.
Yeah, or you participate in it. But I mean, we'll go through this next week. But like the Tesla example is like, okay, well, if I've got power coming off my roof and I put a Tesla charger and I live in an urban area and someone can charge this thing, then I participate in that economically.
Yeah, bingo. All right, let's go there.
Next week.
All right, Joey.
Done. Cheers.
Thank you for listening to BAU Business as Unusual. Subscribe and learn more at baupod.co. That's baupod.co.